Hi there, welcome to the brand new edition of Clan Chat, the official podcast of Glasgow Clan Ice Hockey Club. And we're in March, with the regular season finishing line in sight. It's also a big week as we hail the return of a former clan hero in Stefan Meyer, in the week where his Wall of Fame banner goes up on the wall of Brayhead Arena, and we chat to the former number 10 about his time in Scotland and his thoughts before he's reintroduced to the Purple Army on Friday night. We also look back at Friday's game in Belfast against the Giants, where the clan were edged out in a 9-goal thriller, plus look ahead to the two games this weekend that sees the team host Dundee Stars on Friday, then off to Cardiff Devils on Sunday. And as always, we'll talk to one of the clan crew in our popular feature, What Do You Do? This is Clan Chat.
I'm Zach Fitzgerald, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
Let's take a brief look back at what's been happening on the ice. With the Challenge Cup final last week, it left something of a decimated fixture list, meaning Clan had a relatively easier week in the schedule, leading to one game, and it was a straightforward one at the SSE Arena in Belfast. For the Giants, a victory would only keep their pursuit of Cardiff Devils at the top of the Elite League going, but warm them up nicely for the Challenge Cup final on Sunday, where they were taking on the Guildford Flames. It was a game they won 2-1 in overtime, so for that, a huge congratulations to Adam Keefe and his team. Back to Friday, it was another close-run thing, and while 9 goals were shared between the teams, it was the Giants who got 5 of them to take the 5-4 result. Scott Pitt had cancelled out Jordan Smotherman's opener in the first period, but Belfast pushed ahead with goals from Josh Roach and Darcy Murphy. Guillaume Doucette closed the gap to 1, but Blair Riley made it 4-2 by the end of the second. 2 goals from Gerard Hansen bookended the third period, with Kyle Bond netting in between, and the Giants took the points in the end. That was all the action on the ice, but the weekend was made a little bit better by Sunday night with the news that Clan had confirmed their place in the playoffs, joining the Giants and Cardiff Devils in reaching the postseason competition. It's an important time of the year for everyone concerned, as all the players look to finish the campaign strongly. So, as well as talking about the weekend game and the fixtures coming up, I got a word with defenceman Tyson Wilson, and I asked him for his view of what it's like as a player in this final stretch.
This is kind of the final stretch of the year, obviously, and every game's important here to the finish. Where we're going to finish in the standings, who we're going to end up playing, and have to show up to the rink every day ready to work and be prepared for the next game. You obviously want the team to do as well as they can, and you want to win a championship, so going into the final stretch here can be stressful, but if you manage it the right way and focus and know that you're doing everything right and you're working hard, then it shouldn't be a problem.
Now, as I speak to you, there was only the one game at the weekend, the game in Belfast on Friday. How nice was it to have Saturday and Sunday off?
Oh, I think we really needed that Saturday and Sunday off. We've had a tough stretch of games there, a lot of them on the road and a lot of them against some of the top teams. So to have a break like that at this point in the season, I think will pay huge dividends at the end.
Absolutely. Talk about that game on Friday. Went close with Belfast, got it to 5-4 near the end. Another good performance, but the result not quite going the Clan's way.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about that rink, but we always seem so close, and just one mistake or two mistakes, and that Belfast team's able to capitalize on their chances. They obviously have a lot of scoring power and a lot of veteran guys, so, I mean, I guess they're used to that situation. They just kind of hang around and end up coming out with the W.
We had the coach telling me last week about February, 13 games you guys played in February, bit of a lighter schedule, 9 games this month. What a difference that must be in terms of practice and in game time as well.
Yeah, it gives us a lot more time for preparation for certain teams as well. When you kind of have that string of games all in a row, you need your rest, so you're not practicing as much, and you don't have time to prepare for each team as you normally would. So I think coming into the final stretch here, we'll have a lot more time to prepare for these teams. And a lot of the games are at home or short travel like Fife. So I think that will help us a lot.
I want to ask you about your dance moves. Apparently you proved a bit of a hit at the ladies' night recently.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Rumpel and Tansy kind of set me up there and just saw my window, and I took advantage of the opportunity. It was like a final dance off, and Rumpel and Tansky were kind of dancing at the front, and I don't know what kind of dance move they were doing, but they were standing there and their legs were spread, so I ended up power sliding between their two legs and coming out underneath them and kind of celebrating once I came through.
I'd love to have seen that. Anyway, as I speak to you, we've got a couple of games coming up this weekend. The Clan are at home to Dundee on Friday, back home again after a couple of weeks away. Then it's off to Cardiff next Sunday as well. We talked about the final stretch and how, you know, it's good to be involved at this time of year as well. Getting back to winning ways, I suppose, is the most important thing, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously winning games is huge, but playing the right way, kind of having that structure and that mentality set going into the playoffs, that way we know we're playing well. Sometimes games aren't going to go our way, but if we're playing well and we're doing the right things, then the outcome's usually favorable for us.
And the club, of course, have qualified for the playoffs, which was confirmed on Sunday night as well. So that's kind of half the job done in terms of the fact you're there. It's just a matter of confirming exactly where you're going to finish too. That'll help with the seedings, though.
Yeah, I think we match up well against most teams in the league. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to beat everyone or most teams to get into the finals anyways. So that's the way I'm looking at it, and that's the way the team's kind of looking at it. So I think we'll be prepared and ambitious to, I guess, play anyone in the league right now.
Good. I want to ask you about your time in Glasgow. We're coming, as I say, towards the end of the season now. There comes a point where you will return home. We're not going to get into what you might be doing next season. That'll take care of itself in due course. What would you say is the biggest thing you've taken from your time in Glasgow, particularly off the ice, and your experiences of being around the city and things like that?
Off the ice, I spent a lot of my time at the school, actually. So I met a lot of nice people, and the people of Glasgow are obviously great and very welcoming, and everyone there is very helpful, I would say. I've enjoyed going to school, so that's been good. It's good for me to get out of the house and go down there and keep my brain working and all that stuff. So that's been the biggest thing off ice for me, is just continuing my education.
How do you divide that up? You know, obviously it's very committed doing that kind of thing when you're in education and doing what you're doing, plus what you've got to do with the Clan as well in terms of practice and obviously travelling for games as well. How do you divide that up?
My time management skills, I don't think I've ever been better in my life. So, yeah, even with like the events and stuff that we have to attend, it can be hard sometimes, but you have to kind of make a schedule and just stick to it, or else you know you'll fall behind. And then if you fall behind, then you get stressed out and school starts to fall behind. Maybe you're not playing as well as you would like in hockey. So it's just about sticking to that schedule and getting your priorities straight.
Would you say you have enjoyed your time in Glasgow, all that aside, and what you've experienced over here?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, just the atmosphere in the home rink is unbelievable. Even say you're a little tired and we're coming back from playing like Belfast Thursday, Saturday. We get back on that Sunday, and I think we played the Tuesday before that too, actually. And like, it's a lot of games in a small amount of time with some travel. So we come back on Sunday and the fans are just getting you fired up. And I mean, I haven't really been in front of anything like that even in North America, so to have that is huge for our team.
It's Matt Stanish, you're listening to Clan Chat.
That was Twinkle Toes, Tyson Wilson there. Further to the news that Clan were in the playoffs, the carrot to finish third place got a little bit bigger, as it was confirmed that the team that finishes third will qualify for next season's Continental Cup, but only if Belfast Giants or Cardiff Devils, who are confirmed for the Champions Hockey League next season, win the end-of-season event in Nottingham next month. Keep those passports handy, Purple Army, just in case. Anyway, we're well into March now, and Clan are enjoying a much lighter run of games this month, with 9 in the 31 days of March compared to 13 in the 28 days of February. Last week saw a full week of practice leading into the game in Belfast on Friday, and another week this week leading up to Friday's game with the Dundee Stars. I spoke to the head coach, Pete Russell, about the recent run of games, among other things, and asked how much was a weekend off needed after such a busy time of it in February.
Yeah, it's been pretty full on, and you know, it's always good to get a few days off. I think the guys need that to get away from the rink as well. And we played a lot of away games against the top teams as well, so they've been tough games. And you know, it's been good. It's fine. You know, we're in a good position, and hopefully get Peacock back as well soon, and we push forward to the playoffs.
Good. Speaking of the playoffs, it was confirmed on Sunday night the Clan had reached the playoffs after missing out that year. How proud are you to have achieved that, especially at this particularly early stage?
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, that was the brief I had to try and we had to try and make that happen, and I think we've done a good job of that. I think with no conference system as well, it's so far it's been a great season. To be honest with you, we're happy with it.
Now, only the one game at the weekend we can speak of, the game in Belfast on Friday. There, a 5-4 defeat coming up just a little bit short, but the guys played well again, by all accounts.
Yeah, we played a decent game. And you know, there's a reason that Belfast team are 90% at home. And over there's been tough. We've been up against them a few times and they came back and got us. And that game was pretty, it was a pretty good game. It was pretty close. They had a little spell. They went, I think they went a couple up on us and we pulled it back again. And, you know, we tried at the end to get the goalie out and we tried to pull it back. But, no, just wasn't to be. But, you know, it's, we played pretty solid again. Yeah, we've been playing good for a few weeks again now, but it's you know, hopefully we start picking up again some more points. But as long as you get the performances, that's the main thing just now.
Now, the next game is Dundee at home on Friday night, back home again after a couple of weeks away from it. How much are you looking forward to being back home in this final push?
For sure. It's, you know, it's, we've been good at home. They've been great crowds and it's fun to go in there when it's like that. So I've been told it's another big crowd on Friday night. I think Stephen Myers come to say hello to people as well, so the fan base will love that, and hopefully the guys turn up and put a good show on for them again. Hopefully we can work our way towards a deserved 2 points, but we're going to have to be ready. We have to work hard. Dundee are a good team and they're scraping for everything right now. They want to make the playoffs, and we got to make sure we're ready to try and keep our role going at home, and plus another 2 points to try and keep Nottingham away from us.
You talked about Stephen Meyer coming back. Stephen was, of course, a big hit with the Clan fans. Knowing that he's coming back, he's going to have that banner on the wall. That's going to create a bit of a buzz around the crowd. How much can that help the team?
Yeah, I think there'll be a good atmosphere, but I think there's been a pretty good atmosphere for a little while now. It's been a good buzz in there. I spoke to you about it before. You can feel it, and the guys enjoy that, you know, and we've got to do our part for that, and I'm sure, you know, the Stephen Meyer thing will help with that as well. So hopefully everything comes together and we can play a smart game with and without the puck and try and keep our home record going.
You're up against the Dundee team who are, it's probably fair to say, up against it right now. Their playoff hopes are faded a little bit after their results at the weekend. You know Omar well. How much of a threat, how much more dangerous, rather, would that make them on Friday?
I think everybody's dangerous, Craig. I think it's a tough league this year. You know, there's never an easy night, and when teams are scrapping, like, they're going to be giving everything they can, but so are we. You know, we want to finish as high as we can, and we want to finish as well as we can, and we also want to get a little run going. You know, we want to try and push into the playoffs in good form, but also making sure we're picking up points. It doesn't matter who we play, we're going to give Dundee the same respect as we'd give anybody. And I think if you don't do that in this league and you don't compete, you lose. I think it's that simple.
And then you've got the tough game down in Cardiff on Sunday as well. They're chasing a league title as well, of course.
Yeah, it gets easier, doesn't it? we played down there a week ago, I think. Was it a week ago? Yeah, maybe 2 weeks ago. I thought we played a half decent. I thought we were pretty good in there that night. It was a pretty good game. I think the shot count was pretty close. I think chances wise, we both had good chances, and they executed and they got a couple of bounces we never. We've had great games against Cardiff this year. They've been good games. There's always a good atmosphere there. They're pushing for a championship, so we need to be right from the start at it. And the same as we will be against Dundee, we need to be right from the start at it. So nothing changes. You know, I guess that'll be the last of the long trips out away, so, you know, that'll be nice, but it would be nice to try and go there and really give them a good game this time.
Just while you're on, I want to ask you about the news that came out from the Elite League about the European spot in the Continental Cup. As it stands, it would go to a third place team in the league if Belfast or Cardiff win the playoffs this year. As the coach of Glasgow, you've got to be pleased with that. That's going to be an extra carrot, I think, to keep the team going for the rest of the season.
I think that would be there anyway. I think the players would want to finish as high as they can. I don't have any doubt about that, actually. I know they do. We've spoke about it. you know, as it goes, Cardiff or Belfast will have to win the playoffs. I'm sure there's going to be six other teams would like to have something to say about that. So I don't really want to get involved in just talking about them. I think the respect to the league is, I think anybody on their day could, if they have a good couple of weeks, could win the playoffs. I think the league's that strong just now.
Hey, I'm Joel Rumpel and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Head coach Pete Russell. As this club likes to do, we like to reward service to former players in the guise of the Wall of Fame banner that adorns the back wall of Brayhead Arena. This year's recipient makes his return to Glasgow on Friday for the game with Dundee Stars and is the first Wall of Famer to have been chosen by a vote from you, the Purple Army. Stephen Meyer spent 2 years at the club between 2014 and 2016 and comes back accompanied by his wife Chantelle to be paraded in front of the Purple Army one more time. He beat Chris Frank and Ash Goldie in the vote and was part of the team that finished second in season 2014-15. Under Ryan Finnerty, which led to qualification to the Champions Hockey League the following season, a campaign that Meyer played in. He made a total of 123 appearances, scoring 61 goals and added 81 assists, totalling 142 points over those 2 years. And he joins Bruce Richardson, Jade Galbraith, Drew Miller, Ed McGrain, Kyle Jones, Jamie Fritch and Matt Keith on the Wall of Fame. And if you check out the Clan's social media channels, you'll see the banner is already up. And if you're listening, Jonesy, your banner is back up also. But before he gets on the plane and returns to Scotland, I got some time to talk to Misey about his time at the club, his retirement, and how moving to what was Brayhead was the right move for him. But I started by finding out how much he's looking forward to the trip this weekend.
Oh, I'm very ecstatic about it. It's going to be a fantastic time. You know, it caught me a little bit off guard when I had heard. It was early morning here, and it was nothing but an honor to say yes. And me and my wife Chantal will go see all of our friends in Glasgow, and we'll have a good time.
Tell us about your reaction to the vote. For the first time ever, it was put to a fans' vote. It was between yourself, Ash Goldie, and Chris Frank, two other guys you know quite well as well. It must have been quite humbling for you to know that.
Well, absolutely. Like there's two other fantastic people and players that I was kind of up against, and especially when it became to myself. Once you're, you know, making it a fan vote, it's during the season. I always try to just focus on my game and not really putting myself out there a whole lot with the fans, and just try to hopefully let my game do some of the talking. So it was really, really huge for me to see that they looked at me in that way. And selected me.
And of course, you got the phone call, I believe, from Gareth Chalmers to tell you the good news as well. What was your reaction?
Well, it was just great to talk to everybody again. You know, Gareth and Jerry McLaughlin, and those were two people that were really, really good to me when I was there. Our time there, whenever we needed something or had an issue, they always made sure we were taken care of, and that's just why it's such a nice honor to be praised from a team that did nothing but good things for myself and my family.
Let's take you back to the summer of 2014 when you decided to join what was Brayhead Clan back then. You had a year at Sheffield. What made Clan an attractive proposition for you at the time?
Well, there was quite a number. There was a number of reasons. It was, it initially happened just with myself. I was holding that contract off Sheffield. They were really, really pursuing to get me signed. And G was the coach at the time, who was a fantastic coach. He called me. Every morning, every couple of days, just try to catch me, and I took too long, and I enjoyed my time in Sheffield. It was fantastic, and next thing you know, they had signed another player, and they weren't willing to spend the money, so I was kind of sitting there, and of course it was the start of a saga, especially with my centerman, my captain Matt Keith, you know. He was there, and Ryan Finnerty at the time. I bet you those two were kind of talking back and forth, and I kind of came available, and they jumped at it. And it's crazy how something could start such a positive thing in one's life, and And I'm glad it happened, because if I look at the big picture now, to be able to play with Matt and have the fun and then meet my teammates and develop the friendships that I have and still keep with majority of those guys I played with, we had a heck of a time playing. So it's funny how things work out.
You had 2 years at the Clan. The first season, the club came second in the league. Heartbreaking to go so close and then ultimately miss out in the end. Then the following year, it was that fantastic Champions Hockey League campaign as well. What kind of highlights do you have from those 2 years here?
Oh, there was so many highlights. Like so many good things happened. Happened, you know, as a team and personally. There in our stay where I could sit here forever and talk about playing the Champions League was neat. It was pretty cool. But a lot of things that come to mind was especially that first year we were there, just how we gelled as a team and all we did was win. We would go into buildings and win, and then the fans, the support just started pouring in, and everybody was just excited to be part of the Clan culture. And then eventually we Finner had put that line together with myself and Keith and Lee Salters, where I was the smallest guy on that line at 6'6" to 215 pounds. I was the little guy. And then we had massive success, and then we had team success, and it was just so fun to look back at the fun that we had playing and obviously the birth of my daughter. That's her hometown. Hopefully she can see it again someday, but that's just one of many great times that we had there.
Now, when I look back on that team, you mentioned a couple of the names there. Lee Salters was one, Matt Keith was another. There was some guys in that locker room that had plenty of character about them. Chris Frank's another one as well, who was one of your rivals for this award. I mean, guys like that, you know, they really lit up a locker room, didn't they?
Oh God, yeah, you should have seen just the stuff that went on there, just the fun we had playing. Every night we went into a building just knowing we had a chance to win. You know, we had Jonesy and that, who's obviously on the wall, who was a massive part of our team. And we were close. It was a tight-knit team, and we cared. And we had some pretty mean, tough guys there that went with the mix as well. We kind of found that happy medium, and we played. We came up short. I think it was just some bad luck, but for the most part, we did pretty much everything as a team, and we just kind of kept on going on like that.
So how do you reflect on the 2 years at the Clan compared to the rest of your career? I mean, you know, you've painted quite a picture there about your experience and how much you enjoyed it. Was it the best time you had in your career?
Well, absolutely. When I look back at my career, and you know, a lot of people kind of ask about it. You know, in North America, I was a check. In junior, I was a scorer. Once you get into North America and you start playing in the American Hockey League, and you have to be a checker if you want to play in the NHL. So then you get up to the NHL, and you're a checking forward. You're a grind line guy. So then you get a chance to go over to Europe. I went to the Swedish Elite League, where I was kind of the same player in Germany as well. And then it's funny how that works. I found my game late. You know, I started to find that confidence, that scoring again. And when I went overseas and started in England and end up in Scotland, and to be able to have that success and feel that good feeling of scoring goals and being part of a team that's winning, you absolutely can't beat that. So when you look back, it's that fun again, that getting that chance to go out and play and be a difference in a game. You can't beat that feeling. It's the best feeling in the world as a player, even if you find it at 31, 32 years old.
Now, as I speak to you, you're 33 years old now, but you've been out of the game a little while now. That second season at the Clan turned out to be your last in professional hockey. What prompted you to decide to retire at such a young age?
Well, you know what it was, like, that, don't quote me, like, I was 12, my 12th year professional, 11th or 12th year professional. I had a lot of hard miles on myself. Like, to touch the NHL in North America, I had to be that guy. And I'd be lying, and I would be, it'd be selfish not to say that I was starting to slow down because I was starting to hurt. But, you know, if you look at it, some people were kind of wondering, like, what's going on with Mizey. If you look at the season, I retired as a, I think, 67-point man. So I think I had a lot in the tank. The goals weren't there, but it was more or less, it was many things. Family was number one. You know, we had a daughter now. My wife wanted to be closer to home. You know, we were bringing a dog back and forth, and it was becoming expensive for teams to, you know, I had a lot of baggage. And obviously, I kind of had a number in my head of what I would be worth as a player, and maybe the younger, hungrier version of myself without the baggage was probably the better way to go for a lot of teams. But you know, between family and everything, and we farmed back home, it was just seemed to be the right decision for me to take a step back. Even though I think that, geez, I could still probably even be playing to this day, but. I had to make a family decision.
So nearly 3.5 years, well, 3 years on, what is it you've been doing with yourself since you hung up the skates?
No, I've been pretty busy guy. Obviously, I got two kids now. I got a little girl, Goldie, who was born when we were playing in Glasgow. She's a Scottish girl. I have a little boy now. His name's Navy. He was born. He's 7 months old. And I joined the family business. I'm in the Canadian oil patch. Working doing the farm thing, and we've also started hockey programs throughout the city of Medicine Hat. So there's been no shortage of time away and hard work to keep me busy, to kind of keep my mind off the game. But I sure miss it.
Now, you said to me before we started recording, Matt Keith was the Wall of Famer last year. He came over with his wife, Chelsea, got all the adulation from the fans and everything. What's he told you to expect from Friday night when you meet the fans again against Dundee Stars?
Well, you know what? Look, we've kind of been speaking back and forth about it a little bit. When we do talk, it's usually about something stupid or bug each other, you know, about something. Just even when we played together and as players, we always, you know, we kind of fed off each other to push each other. I think that's what kind of made us good together, is because we didn't cut each other any slack. So he's been cutting me slack. He's probably thinking they're going to wonder if they got a stunt double out there. The old Mizey looks a little bit heavier than he did when he played. But absolutely. You know, I was in it with the Clan, and he's the one that kind of got the ball rolling with it. So it'd be fitting to say that he'd give me some information about what his experience was like, because, you know, we were kind of in it together, and now it's kind of funny we're up there together now too.
And watching from afar, no doubt you've been keeping a track on the club's progress this year, and certainly since you left the club 3 years ago as well. What have you made of the team as it currently is with Pete Russell in charge?
Oh, the way it looks like they're having a lot of fun. It looks like that excitement to come to the rink, and that excitement to win every night is there, and I'm really, really happy to see the team it holds a pretty big, you know, part of my heart and my career, do well, because there's a fantastic group of people there, from past players that I played with, and to the new guys that they brought in, and to the people in the office. They deserve every success that team, you know, gets. And you can't forget about the fan base, like the Purple Army. They follow their team. You know, they demand a good team, but rightfully so. When the team starts to win, there's no other better fan base, because they're there. They want to win, and that's what kind of fan base you want, is the fans that are going to be there for the team and want to see that team push to, you know, to ultimately win a trophy.
I'm Matt Cowlett, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Stephen Meyer there, ahead of his return as a Wall of Famer this weekend. Just one to go, and we look closer to home for our final interviewee as we talk to the latest member of the Clan crew about their role within the club and what they do. It's a voice we've come to know well over the years, so it's time to ask, what do you do?
Well, my name's Jerry McLaughlin, and I'm Business Development for the club. I think with like a lot of things for the clan, people don't really have one particular role. You know, everyone's wearing multiple hats, but I think for me, it kind of falls into kind of four main categories. So sponsorship, kind of coordinating with the current sponsors that we have and bringing in new sponsorship for the club. So this year we've obviously had Lexus and Credit Fix and Cat House, Lockley Construction and Renault Trucks and Asprey and Glasgow Slaters, quite a few new companies come on board. And then we've also got a great network of current sponsors as well. And they've been great this year, actually, getting a lot of advice and information from them to move stuff forward. And actually, that's another kind of key role, is the business club. So operating and running the business club. Bryn Williams from Creation IP, being the title sponsors of it. I had a chat with him at the start of the season, and his kind of key idea was to change up. He didn't like hard networking events, a bit cringy, those kind of stand up, say who you are, and hand out a business card. So this year we tried to create some more sociable events. We had a great event at the Blythewood Hotel, player sponsors evenings, a go-kart and things like that. And we also introduced some trips this year for the sponsors. So we're going to Belfast, and we'll be going to Germany at the end of the season to watch some Dell hockey and Dell 2 playoff hockey as well. And also a pre-game network event. It's the first time we'd ever really done that. Was for the Rock the Rink night, we did a pre-game hospitality networking event. It was one of these things you think, why did we never do this before? You know, everyone's involved in hockey and has a passion for hockey, so it just made total sense to have a networking event before a game. And then that's another kind of key area of my job, is the hospitality. So we brought on board the hospitality from talking to people that felt like it was something that was missing at the club. You know, we don't have the facilities that maybe some other teams around the Elite League have in terms of boxes and corporate boxes overlooking the rink. But, you know, just with a wee bit of kind of creativity, we found an area, the balcony bar, the pre-game balcony bar, which is at the top of the glass lifts into as well. And that's gone down really well this year. So big plans for that next season, to be a big part of the match night offering and making it open for all, not just sponsors, but people who maybe want just a little kind of treat, maybe a wee upgrade on their ticket, someone's birthday, things like that. So something special, an opportunity there. So that's gone down great as well. And then just generally representing the club and being part of the kind of growing culture of the club. It's my sixth season that I've been working with the club, and it's been great seeing it kind of grow. And it's really proud of the part that I've been allowed to play in the rebrand and bringing in Tartan. And next year is going to be a massive year, with it being 10 years of the club, 10 years of the clan. And also it's a huge year for Matt Haywood as well. So organising those kind of events, things like that, as well as all the crazy stuff that comes up, like dentists, sorting out dentists for players for some reason. I don't know why, but the guys seem to come to me when teeth need put back together. Laura, our dentist, has been amazing this year. You know, it's just one of these crazy things, but you really need to have good links and networks with these people that are keeping your players healthy, chiropractors, gum shields, things like that. Yeah. So, yeah, it's quite diverse, but business development is the title.
And it's a lot different from how you started out at the club. You got involved, obviously, through, you know, the media side of it, along with me with the Clan TV stuff.
Yeah.
You know, while I was kind of a voice, you were more the face of it. You know, so it's evolved quite a bit in that time.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's natural for things to kind of progress often. And I mean, beforehand, I guess a lot of people don't really know a lot about me maybe beforehand as well. Obviously, they know my kind of acting background, but my degree was in television and radio production. And also then I worked in advertising down in Manchester for the Guardian Media Group. And I mean, a lot of things you might still see is doing adverts and stuff from some of us still keep coming back. And a lot of time that's been a process that I've been involved in and things we've pitched. I don't always pitch myself to be in all these adverts. They were quite limited if I was doing that. But so advertising and that kind of world of business has kind of stood me in good stead. And then writing for the MEN newspaper and things like that in the past has kind of helped. So that media role and that kind of business role is definitely something I've been able to draw on. And then now I've been, you know, I did do a lot of sponsorship last year. I started taking on that role. And then with the changes made, it was kind of time to make those changes and kind of and press ahead. So it's been great. I've really enjoyed it. It's been fantastic. And it's you know, it's a dream job, really.
And of course, a lot of people recognise you from your job in acting. You know, you still turn up in the odd thing. Burniston is probably the thing you're kind of most famous for in that respect. But you still keep your hand in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, the job's so intensive for the clan now that the, you know, the involvement's just kind of ramped up. So it is kind of hard to kind of kind of do that kind of thing. But if, yeah, there's still some things when it kind of fits, when it kind of works. Obviously, Burniston's great because that just kind of comes up, and it's not like I'm going for castings for that. You know, I'm part of the team, so it's been great to kind of keep doing that. And actually, it's been really helpful in terms of contacts for the club. Something that we're looking to do is pressing on and helping us get more coverage on TV. So having those kind of links into the BBC and ITV for years has been really, really helpful. You know, people might have seen, actually I did an advert recently for the Bank of Scotland for their rugby coming on as well. So that gave us a fantastic, and you know, I got to meet the head of marketing for the bank there, and they're giving us some tips of people we have to talk to. So little irons in the fire. Sometimes it, you know, it's, it can be a slow process getting the big deals over the line, but you've got to just be there and be in the zone and be ready. And you know, just a lot of sponsorship needed a lot of kind of sorting out. They needed a lot of just understanding and structuring, producing the brochures and things like that, because it's a fantastic club. There's so many fantastic sellable assets of it, and people just love hockey. You know, like the, I never really thought I'd be in sales as such, but I talked about hockey so much anyway that it is just a kind of perfect job for me, because I don't know, the easiest thing about hockey is you just need to take people to go see it. It's such a fantastic thing to be part of. And you know, in the Clan, you know what the atmosphere is like at the Clan as well. It's, you know, it's not a hard sell. It doesn't feel like a sales job, you know. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But of course, as I said before, it's very different to what you did before. And that involves a lot of schmoozing, if I can use that word. You're having to keep sponsors on side and basically pander to every whim if you want to keep them on board. But there must have been times when it's been difficult. Maybe sponsors are thinking of maybe pulling out. How do you, hypothetically, how do you keep them on board?
Well, I think it's just I think it's just sort of natural. I think it's just you've got to talk to people and you've got to listen to them as much as anything else. And you know, sometimes people have got different, you know, not so much different agendas, but just a different focus and a different kind of valuation of something. And that's just natural. That's just any kind of business. So as much as possible, you want to accommodate people, and you know, and that's, and you should, you know, you've got to want to please. And at the same time, you've got to have a focus on what's right for the club moving forward. So. Yeah, that is difficult. Getting that balance right is difficult. But I think sometimes as well, in certain sponsorships, certain things have a natural cycle. There's two kind of key types of sponsorship. There's people who are looking for exposure and looking for a return on their investment. And then you also have people who love that prestige of being part of a sports organisation and contributing to it. And for them, that the hospitality and things like that are more important. So those are the two kind of key areas. And you just have to kind of go with the flow with it and never really lose contact with people, you know, because things change and people come back and people go. That's natural. But retention is really important if you're going to build and go forward. And we're really lucky. We've got a brilliant bunch of people supporting us at the moment. Yeah, really, really happy with that as well.
I mean, the financial side is obviously important in terms of bringing in money for the club that can help you mm-hmm. buy equipment and everything else that goes with that. But again, leaving the money side of it out, how important are the sponsors to the club in terms of forming networks and you know, acquaintances further on down the line?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely key. I think the really interesting thing about the sponsorship, people often think it is just about money coming in, but it's about the relationships you form with people as well. Contra deals and things like that to keep the club ticking over. People just wanting to help out and be part of the club. No, it's absolutely massive. And not just that, sponsors are probably the best people for bringing new fans. I mean, the sponsor people that have invested financially, and fans are great for spreading the word, and sponsors do that as well. So a lot of the time it isn't just, you know, it isn't just business, there's a passion there as well. So yeah, I mean, absolutely key, I'd say.
So chance to plug yourself now if you want any potential sponsors that might be listening. Give us the spiel.
Well, do you know what? The first thing you need to do is just come and watch hockey. First and foremost, that's what we do with people. You're like, there's so many different things that you can do with the Clan, and hockey's got this amazing kind of culture around it where, you know, the sponsorship kind of goes hand in hand. North American sports are quite, you know, accepting of sponsorship, and people can understand why it's there. But there's an opportunity in hockey to do something different, and from our bathtub races and things like that, and being kind of more novel, you know, beach ball battles and things like that, we've always tried to kind of look at doing something a little bit different, something that you can't really get in maybe other more conventional sports. So hockey is a bit of a special thing, and the fact that we just have, anyone could love hockey. People talk about the target audience, and it is, you know, a family market. That is the kind of, you know, the mainstay of hockey fans. But you know yourself, Craig, there's like groups of young kids come to the hockey. There's, you know, elderly couples who just love it as well. So it's such a rarity to have something that appeals on that scale. So anyone that has the opportunity to get involved with it, you know, you should grab it with both hands.
And who do people contact if they wish to take out sponsorship, Jerry? Let's get the name out there. What do we do?
Well, if you just contact me, so that's jerry.mclaughlin@clanihc.com.
Hey, Clan fans, I'm Michael Gutwald, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
That's the voice of Jerry McLaughlin talking about his role in Clan's business development. As we head towards the end of the season, the awards are looming large also as the club gets ready to celebrate what has been a great campaign. The Clan Awards will be handed out at the Normandy Hotel on Tuesday, the 26th of March. And as it always is, a great night to reflect on a great year, and you can be there to join the team and the staff. Information on the night can be found on the website by heading to clanihc.com, along with all the latest news around the club, including ticket and game information. If you haven't yet, don't forget to like the official Facebook page or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at clanihc. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify or Audioboom, and the newest episode will automatically download to your device. That's it. Thanks for listening. On behalf of producer Stuart Priest and myself, Craig Anderson, we'll be back soon for more from around the Glasgow Clan. Bye for now.